Welcome to your email digest for February 26, 2026. Today, you have three emails. Email from Matt Levine, norreply@news.bloomberg.com. Subject, money stuff. Kalshi found some insider traders. Hedge funds, OpenAI shorts, mergers and acquisitions, and more. Kalshi, the prediction market, has been busy with insider trading cases. Last year, Bill Ackman suggested a trade for Eric Adams using Polymarket, a prediction market, arguing it could make Adams some quick profit if he dropped out of the mayoral race. There are rules against insider trading on prediction markets like Kalshi and Polymarket, as they're regulated by the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Recently, Kalshi has reported several insider trading cases, including one involving a candidate who traded on his own gubernatorial candidacy, violating exchange rules, resulting in a ban and penalty. The first case resembled Ackman's suggestion about trading on internal intentions, with Kalshi having stricter insider trading rules than typical stock markets. The CFTC enforces insider trading, but focuses on misappropriated confidential information. If they take action, the consequences can be more severe. Also, the U.S. Department of Justice has prosecuted types of insider trading under wire fraud, an area that's still evolving in prediction markets. Kalshi uses both automated systems and user reports to detect insider trading. With all trading data public, users often notice anomalies, indicating possible insider trading. Moving on to hedge fund hiring, the big multi-manager hedge funds are evolving into structures similar to investment banks. For hedge funds, instead of seeking maverick investors, they're adopting growth pipelines, starting with intern programs for college graduates, similar to traditional investment banks. This shift might raise concerns about losing those out-of-the-box thinkers that characterized early hedge fund success. On the topic of OpenAI, many people want to invest in or against private tech startups, though they're often restricted. However, some are creating personal wagers on the eventual valuations. For instance, Ben Eifert of QVR Advisors has made personal bets regarding OpenAI's future valuation. In mergers and acquisitions news, Warner Bros. Discovery has received a new buyout offer, potentially setting off a bidding war. Paramount Skydance has been persistent in its acquisition efforts. Special clauses in Warner's previous agreement with Netflix allowed potential negotiation without breaching terms, illustrating the complex choreography of M&A. Finally, a remarkable example of AI exploitation emerged. A hacker used Anthropic's AI to hack Mexican government databases, illustrating vulnerabilities in AI systems if manipulated cleverly, rather than straightforward technical hacking. That wraps up our update. It's intriguing how tech, finance, and regulation continue to intertwine in new ways. Email from TBPN, TBPN plus run of show at substack.com, subject how the Fed is thinking about AI adoption. Happy Wednesday. Today, we're diving into how the Federal Reserve and the broader business community are thinking about AI adoption. The latest paper from the National Bureau of Economic Research presents some intriguing findings. The New York Times highlighted one that might surprise those following tech discourse. 80% of firms reported AI was having no impact on their productivity or employment. This is quite the contrast. Everyone we talk to on the show believes AI will influence productivity and employment. Some are optimistic, seeing AI enabling a new wave of tech entrepreneurs. Others view it as a force that will consolidate control and result in job losses for junior-level roles. Yet a significant number of businesses, as surveyed, seem to feel the impact hasn't hit yet. Surveyed firms reveal some interesting trends. First, around 70% of firms are actively using AI, especially those that are younger and more productive. Despite high usage among top executives, their direct engagement with AI averages only about 1.5 hours per week, indicating AI isn't yet a major component of their daily operations. Most firms haven't felt a dramatic impact from AI in the past 3 years, with over 80% seeing no changes in productivity or employment. However, looking forward, they expect notable shifts over the next 3 years, projecting boosts in productivity and output and slight reductions in employment. A key takeaway here is the challenge in measuring AI adoption. Many use AI unknowingly, as it's often integrated into tools and services they already use regularly. For some, the applications of AI aren't even apparent, occurring behind the scenes. The survey's broad definition of AI adoption, encompassing machine learning, content creation, and autonomous technologies, reveals that 78% of firms in the US are utilizing AI, with text generation being a common use. Despite this, there's a curious prediction. Only 75% expect to be using these technologies in 3 years, suggesting a shift in certain sectors or an expectation of decreased necessity. One standout finding is the expectation of minimal impact on employment, with 63% anticipating no change. However, there's optimism about AI fostering new opportunities and jobs, balancing out any potential job losses. This contradicts some tech-centric predictions of massive reductions in white-collar roles, highlighting a gap between tech perceptions and broader business outlooks. AI progress is outpacing public awareness, and many managers aren't fully aware of its current capabilities. While there's no broad consensus on strategies to mitigate potential job market disruptions, slowing down AI adoption could result in being left behind by competitors who are moving faster. Drawing parallels with political polling, there's an opportunity here for a novel approach to understanding AI adoption. Instead of asking firms directly about their use, exploring their perceptions of competitors, AI usage could yield insightful data, perhaps revealing more about the industry's self-awareness and readiness for future changes. This innovative approach could provide a clearer picture of where businesses stand in this rapidly evolving landscape. That's all for now. Join us again tomorrow for more insights and updates. Email from Zivai Moshowitz from Don't Worry About the Vase, thezivai@substack.com, subject Anthropic and the Department of War. The situation in AI in 2026 is crazy. The confrontation between Anthropic and Secretary of War Pete Hegseth is a new level of crazy. It risks turning quite bad for all. There's also nothing stopping it from turning out fine for everyone. By at least one report, the recent meeting between the two parties was cordial and all business, but Anthropic has been given a deadline of 5 p.m. Eastern on Friday to modify its existing agreed-upon contract to grant unfettered access to Claude or else. Anthropic has been the most enthusiastic supporter our military has in AI and in tech, but on this point have strongly signaled they cannot comply. Prediction markets find it highly unlikely Anthropic will comply, and think it is highly possible Anthropic will either be declared a supply chain risk or be subjected to the Defense Production Act. I've hesitated to write about this because I could make the situation worse. There's already been too many instances in AI of warnings leading directly to the thing someone is warning about by making people aware of that possibility, increasing its salience, or creating negative polarization and solidifying an adversarial frame that could still be avoided. Something intended as a negotiating tactic could end up actually happening. I very much want to avoid all that. Let's talk more about how this standoff should never have happened. Anthropic didn't just have the best models. They were also proactive in making sure those models were available on highly classified networks. Palantir's Maven Smart System relies exclusively on Claude and is crucial for major military operations. And by all accounts, there have been no problems. Anthropic has been a great partner to our military, all under the terms of the current contract. They have considerably enhanced our military might and national security, and are offering the Pentagon far more unfettered access than they are allowing anyone else. It is the Pentagon that is now demanding Anthropic agree to new terms amounting to anything we want, legal or otherwise, no matter what, and you never ask any questions, or else. Anthropic is saying its terms are flexible, only insisting on two red lines already in their Pentagon contract. No mass domestic surveillance, and no kinetic weapons without a human in the kill chain until ready. These are reasonable red lines, but the Pentagon is demanding their removal. It is perfectly reasonable to say, well, of course I would never do either of those things, so why do you insist upon them in our contract? We understand that you, personally, would never do that. But a lot of people do not believe this for the government in general, given Snowden's information and other past incidents involving governments of both parties. It costs little and is worth a lot to reassure us. If you say, I already swore an oath not to do those things, then thank you, but please do us this favor. don't actively threaten a company to forcibly take that similar oath out of a signed contract. This is a free opportunity to regain some trust or an opportunity to appear as though you'll cross those red lines you say you won't. Your choice matters. This is not about attempting to make AI blindly obey their. Such a step would damage the AI's functionality and security. As Anthropic continues to push back on Pentagon demands, it's vital to note these discussions hold implications for both parties far beyond current interactions. Anthropic cannot fold. Their brand reputation is at stake, built on the promise of being a responsible AI company that ensures its AI won't be misaligned or misused. The confrontation remains tense. While the Pentagon faces criticism for its approach, the best course might be stopping the escalation and coming to a mutual understanding that respects the core principles both sides uphold. We should prioritize a solution with the spirit of cooperation rather than hostility. The story is not over yet, and as each party navigates through these complex negotiations, the potential for a better path still exists. That's all for today's digest. Have a great workout.